Last night in the Tarawih Salah, the 26th juz was recited, starting off with Surah Ahqaf. In the Surah, the ulama say that one of the themes of the Surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it is among the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala does not punish immediately. Allah ta'ala has given the Quran, Allah has given revelation and wahi, but Allah ta'ala grants respite. This is the system of Allah ta'ala, and He gives chance to people for them to come onto the right path, and until eventually when the time comes and now the proof is against them established, then Allah ta'ala destroys people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He has sent the Quran Sharif down, and the whole creation of this heaven and earth, it was created for a specific purpose and a reason, and it has got a specific time. But unfortunately, those who are disbelievers, they turn away and they take partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The partners they take are so weak, who cannot even answer them any of the du'as. They don't even know that the people are making du'as towards them. And on the day of Qiyamah, when they will be resurrected, they will become enemies of those people. But unfortunately, those people, when the Quran Sharif is read to them, they call it jadu and they call it magic. And they say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made up the Quran Sharif. So these are destruction be to such people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are two groups. One is those people who say Allah is our Rabb, and they are remain steadfast on it. There is no fear upon them, no grief for them at the time of death in the grave on the day of Qiyamah. And they are the people of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some qualities of them. Especially that they fulfill the right of their parents. And when a person fulfills the right of his parents because his parents have done ihsan and kindness towards him, then the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose favors are much, much more. How much more a person has to fulfill those rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala says, we have commanded insan, human beings, to do kindness to his parents. And as we had mentioned before, as mentioned to us, there are three categories of people. One is those people who make zulam and oppression. That who regards one's parents is impossible. The hadith comes, a person who oppresses his parents in this world, before leaving this world, Allah's punishment already come upon him. Other gunas and sins is punished in the year after, but for parents, punishment is in this world. The second level is adal, to be fair and just with your parents. That also is not permissible for parents. For other people, it's wajib, it's compulsory for other people. But for parents, the lowest is ihsana, to be kind towards them, to be good. It means even if they oppress you, still a person must fulfill the right, he must be good and kind towards them. So the rights are very great of parents. Allah Ta'ala said, the mother carried him with great difficulty, and she bore him with great difficulty, and she was carrying him, and she was weaning him off for 30 months, such a long time. So a person, how much he must make, and the mother's name is mentioned three times here, and the father is mentioned once only. So the ulama said that the rights of the mother are three times more than the rights of the father. That the person has to be kind and show and make khidmat of his mother three times more than he makes to his parents. But in obedience, obviously, the father's right is first. If a father gives a command, he has to listen to the father. Ta'zim and honor is for the father. But khidmat and service for a person's mother, how much of sacrifice she made to bring him up. And Allah Ta'ala says, when a person at least reaches the age of 40 to make dua for his parents, and he should have so much of understanding. Beautiful dua Allah mentioned here. Rabbi awzi'ani an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta. O Allah, give me the tawfiq that I make shukr and I be appreciative of your bounties which you have favored upon me and my parents. Whatever bounties you have given me and my parents, I make shukr and thank them, because whatever parents and ni'mat have come to them, I'm also getting the benefit of it. And the second, O Allah, give me the tawfiq an a'mala salihan tarbahu. I must do good actions. But doing good actions is not sufficient. Tarudahu, which you are pleased with. So just doing a good action, whether Allah accepts it or not, that we never know until a person goes in the day of Qiyamah. So a person can never be happy in this world. We have to continue asking Allah Ta'ala for acceptance. But yeah, Allah Ta'ala, give me the tawfiq to do such good actions by which you are pleased. So it's not just the outward good action, but Allah must be pleased with it. And the third thing is, waslih li fi dhurriyati, regarding my children, O Allah Ta'ala, correct my children also. Now you reach the age of 40, you've got children, so you also must make dua for, a person must make dua for his children also. And the ulama have mentioned that minimum for our parents, 5 times a day, as Allah has got a right of 5 times salah, we make it daily. So our parents, at least 5 times a day, we should make dua for them. And the easy dua is, Rabbi rahamhuma kama rabbayani saghira, which comes in the Quran Sharif also. So anyhow, Allah says, these are one category of people. They fulfill the rights of their parents, they make dua for themselves, for their children, they want to do good actions. And on the other hand, you get certain children who are disobedient to their parents. They do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirat. And when they speak to their parents, uffil lakuma, akh to you people. They are disrespectful to their parents. The ulama says, if there was any word less than uff, Allah ta'ala would have mentioned it in the Quran Sharif. It means the lowest level of disrespect, the smallest word, just to show your displeasure also to one's parents is also a major sin. Allah ta'ala protect and save us from this year. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, such people who are disrespectful to their parents, and they do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will be amongst the inhabitants and dwellers of Jahannam. Allah ta'ala protect and save us from this. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the nation of Ad. Hud alayhi salatu wasalam went to them in a place called Ahqaf, where there were some sand dunes, and he gave them da'wah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these people were not prepared to accept, and eventually they were destroyed. And whereas the wahi and revelation of Allah is so clear and so easy, that even the jinnat, who normally are supposed to be obstinate, when they heard the teachings of the Quran Sharif, they also humbled themselves and they said, no, we have heard this kitab, and definitely it's guiding a person towards the truth, towards the straight path. Oh people, they went back to their people and gave them da'wah. Now you also come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in the Quran Sharif, Allah will forgive your sins and Allah will save you from the severe punishment. So a person wants to accept, he has to look clearly at the ayat of the Quran Sharif, and it's very easy for a person to accept the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next surah, Surah Muhammad, another name is Suratul Qital, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the importance of jihad in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a Madani surah, because only when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Medina Munawwara after the hijrat, then the laws of jihad came down. There are certain rules and regulations. The desire must be in every person's heart to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person who passes away and he has not made jihad, and the thought never even crossed his heart, وَلَمْ يُحَدِّثْ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ, he didn't even speak to himself and make an intention that if it has to happen, I will fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then مَاتَ عَلَى شُعْبَةٍ مِّن نِفَاقٍ, he passes away on a branch of hypocrisy. So this is a person must have the desire to give his life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously there are certain rules and regulations. Person just can't wake up now in a country here and say, I'm going to make jihad. There are certain rules in an Islamic country. You have to have an Amirul Mu'minin, a leader, etc. It's not just a wild killing and person goes. This is completely incorrect also. But the other hand, this is a very important structure and part of our deen also. So much so, some ulama have said the sixth pillar of Islam, after the five pillars, the sixth pillar of Islam is jihad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the reason for it is because the kuffar and the disbelievers are following batil, falsehood. And the people of iman are following the haqq, they are following the truth, the correct belief. Whereas the kuffar are following the incorrect belief, complete batil and falsehood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to differentiate between the two. And the two groups will always remain till the day of qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this great institution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given certain adab and etiquette here, how a person must fight in the path of Allah ta'ala, certain masail of slaves, etc. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises jannat for those people who make the sacrifice in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the kuffar and disbelievers, yatamatta'un, they just enjoy themselves. وَيَأْكُرُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُرُ الْأَنْعَامُ, and they continue eating their food like how animals eat their food. The object of life is just eating and enjoying themselves. This is the object of the kuffar. Whereas وَالنَّارُ مَثْوَى لَهُمْ, the fire of Jahannam is the final abode. Whereas the people of Iman have got Jannah in front of them, and the great, great, beautiful gardens of Jannah, and the different rivers Allah has got of water and of milk and of wine and rivers of honey which is flowing completely pure, and every kind of fruit what a person desires he will get in Jannah, and the forgiveness from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala asks, on one side there are such people, and on the other hand are those people who will be living forever in the fire of Jahannam, and they will be made to drink that boiling hot water, فَقَطْعَ أَمْعَاهُمْ, which will go through the intestines and cut through the intestines. When a person is drinking soap or boiling water, you can't even imagine, the one lip of a person will start swelling, it will go up, another lip of his, just when he touches the hot water touches him, it will completely come down onto his chest because of the severity of the heat of the water. Allah Ta'ala protect and save us from it. And all the time a person must make an effort towards Jannah and direct entry into Jannah, not via the fire of Jahannam also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many other laws regarding jihad, etc. And that innama al-hayatu dunya la'ibu wa lahu, that this worldly life is only a play and a pastime. So for a short while a person must not put his heart into these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling you people to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are stingy, you are not prepared to spend, then you are causing harm to yourself only. Wallahu al-ghaniyyu wa antumul fuqara, Allah is completely independent, you people are in need. Wa in tatawallu, if you turn away, Allah will change you for a nation besides you, some other nation. Thumma la yakunu amsalakum, they won't be like you people. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained to us, this is Hazrat Salman Farisi radiallahu anhu sitting there, and he said that this, from among these people's progeny, there will be so much of talab and desire within people, that people will come, that there is knowledge on a certain star, and they will actually go to the star to go and fetch that knowledge. And so much of talab from the under this ayat, if you turn away, O Arabs, then Allah will use other nations besides you people. And the ulama say that this most likely was in reference to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, the amount of knowledge, because they say amongst the non-Arabs, there was nobody who spread the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi in the whole world, how much of his knowledge, so much of some ulama say two-thirds of the Muslim ummah follows the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. And Allah Ta'ala is not in need of any nation, but those who give themselves all to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala utilizes them for the khidmat of deen. Then thereafter the next surah is Surah Al-Fatah, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a glad tidings of victory. In Hudaybiyah it happened when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going for Umrah. He had a dream, he was going for Umrah. And when they go there with about 1,500 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the kuffar did not allow them to enter Makkah Mukarramah, and they wanted to make a peace treaty with them. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were very upset, and they wanted to continue for it. There was a rumor that Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhum was killed by the non-Muslims. So then the Muslims got ready now to make jihad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to avenge the life of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhum, but eventually they found out it was not true. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a treaty with the kuffar and disbelievers. Outwardly it seemed there was no law of the Shariat which went against the law of the Shariat, but in the treaty there were some things which went against the Muslim people. It wasn't against the Shariat but against the Muslims. Outwardly it seemed harmful to the Muslim people. Sahaba radiallahu anhu were very upset, but anyhow they accepted the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when they were returning back from Makkah Mukarramah and they were told to come the following year for Umrah, they couldn't go that year. They were very grief stricken. Allah Ta'ala sent this ayat of the Quran Sharif down that Inna fatahna laka fatha mubina, we have given you an open victory. Sahaba radiallahu anhu couldn't understand what is the open victory, but after a short while they saw that in the 2 years, space of 2 years, how many thousands of people who saw the akhlaq and character of the Muslims, they entered into the fold of Islam, forged their forge in armies upon armies. At that time there was only 1,500 Sahaba who came for Umrah. The following 2 years later when they went again to conquer Makkah Mukarramah, there were 10,000 people with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how eventually they took over Makkah Mukarramah. So Allah mentions all of this glad tidings there in the surah, that what Allah has given to the Muslims, and those people who pledged allegiance to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were prepared to give their lives to take to avenge the life of Uthman radiallahu anhu under one tree. They took their bayat. So Allah says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah was happy with the believers when they took bayat to you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many, many promises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, which He will grant to them. And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about some hypocrites, how they stayed back from this. They were not prepared to go because of the fear of losing their lives, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that. And in the ending of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the high level and status of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that what is the qualities. Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and those people who are with him, ma'ah, ulama say this shows that suhbat, the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, created these sifat and qualities in them. So this ma'iyat, suhbat and company of the righteous and the pious people is a very great thing, and especially those who had the ma'iyat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah Ta'ala has given many, many promises in the Quran. There are so many places Allah speaks about that, about these people, the rank of them. Allah Ta'ala says one quality of them is ashidda'u al-kuffar. They are very firm and severe against the kuffar and disbelievers. But amongst themselves, they've got extreme love, ruhama wa bainahum. And some ulama say that this refers to iman, perfection of iman. Al-hubbu fillah wal-bukhsu fillah, kamal iman, perfection of iman. To love people for Allah's pleasure and to hate people for Allah's pleasure. You love the Muslims because they are Muslims, and you hate the kuffar and disbelievers because they disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kamal iman. And whenever you see them, you will see them in ruku and sajda. So this is kamal Islam. The outer form of Islam, ibadat, etc. was in their lives. And yabtahuna fadlan min Allahi wa ridwana. They were always seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is called ihsan. So iman, Islam, and ihsan, all the three branches of deen, all of these were found perfect in the perfect level in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Allah Ta'ala himself is mentioning this here, that this is the qualities, and how did they get these qualities? By ma'iyat and the sohbat and company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing the great importance of sohbat and company, that these sifat and qualities, the whole of deen comes into a person when he's got the sohbat and company of the pious people, he stays in the company. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned certain promises regarding them. The next surah is Surah Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail mentions certain adab and etiquette, how people will have to live in this world. We've always been meeting other people. So the first etiquette was given regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ulama say from here, which whoever is our leaders, our imams, our ustads, our mashayikh, the same etiquette will apply to them also. One is, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Do not put your own opinion before Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or before your amir, before your sheikh. This is my opinion, this is my understanding, and what they say, a person must listen, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, listen and obey, and he will find great benefit. And also another etiquette is when a person has to speak to the mashayikh or to his elders or to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not raise your voices above their voices. Do not speak loudly. And number three, how you call one another just by nicknames, you're playing fools with somebody, do not speak to your elders and people in such a way, and especially from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of their adab and disrespect. أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. A person, he can actually lose his iman also. And when he loses his iman, all his a'mal is completely destroyed. And the person didn't even know. Tawfiq is taken away when a person shows disrespect. So a person has to be very careful with disrespect. Tami rahmatullah alayhi, sometimes the harms of disrespect are much more worse than sinning also. Sinning, a person feels bad, he makes tawbah. But disrespect is because of pride and arrogance. And because of that, tawfiq is taken away from a person can lose his iman because of this also. Allah Ta'ala protect us. And then the fourth adab and etiquette is, when you go to the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actual etiquette is, don't call out to him loudly and ask him to come outside. But you must actually wait until he's not resting and he himself comes outside. These are the high levels of adab and respect which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba radiallahu anhu taught. And Allah Ta'ala said, I have tested the sahaba radiallahu anhu. Their hearts are filled with the taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They pass the examinations with flying colors. Then the second etiquette is mentioned regarding people who are outside, who are far from the people, they're not nearby, other Muslim people. If somebody comes to you and gives you information regarding them without verifying, then do not just pass a judgment against them, because otherwise, فَتُسْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Sometimes you might attack the people because of not having the proper information, and then a person becomes sorrowful after this. What did I do? I didn't know. I should have found out properly. So a person has to make for a proper investigation. And has been mentioned also in the Ramadan, كَفَى بِالْمَرِيَ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It is sufficient to brand a person a liar, that whatever he hears, immediately he starts speaking about it. Today's time he's sending out messages, you just find a message without verifying it, and a person just sends it out. So a person has to be very careful regarding this. And then there is a third category of people who are living together, the Muslims. When sometimes it happens, they start fighting among themselves, or because of incorrect information reaching one group to another group, they start fighting among themselves. First, then Allah Ta'ala has given certain adab and etiquette, how a person must make sulah between the two jama'ahs, the two groups, like how it happened in the time of Ali and Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. They also, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, explained that these ayats were referring to them, which came later on in future. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this, that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, the believers are brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Make sulah, try to unite between your brothers and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah's mercy will come down upon you people. Then etiquette regarding living with other people, Allah Ta'ala mentioned six important etiquette here, which doesn't cause harm and fight amongst people. It will create muhabbat and love amongst people. One is never to mock at another person. And why does a person normally mock? Because we feel we are better than somebody else. So Allah said, do not ever mock at any person. Perhaps they are better than you. You don't even know. Secondly, do not call one another. Do not taunt one another. Do not taunt other people. It's also very, very similar to mocking a person. And number three, do not call people with names and titles. O fasik, O kafir. A person should abstain from all kinds of such titles. And then number four, istanibu kathiram min adhan. Stay away from many thoughts, badgumani, thoughts about people. Allah Ta'ala said, even though some thoughts are is a sin, but all thoughts a person must stay away from. A person, just somebody comes and tells you something, so we know a person just believes it, and he has got these thoughts within himself. So even though some thoughts might be correct, and some are wrong, but Allah Ta'ala says, stay away from all kinds of thoughts. Have good thoughts, as our Buzurus mentioned, that you have good thoughts, you'll get sawab for it. But you have bad thoughts about somebody, on the day of Qiyamah, you'll be asked to present a proof. And even if you are right, you had no proof, the person will be held liable for this year. And Allah Ta'ala says, wala tajassasu, do not spy on one another. That you go and look for faults of people. And number six, Allah Ta'ala says, wala yaqtab ba'adukum ba'adah, do not make ghibat and backbite about one another. Ulama says that this all goes up. That when a person starts spying, or first person has thoughts, then a person starts spying, then eventually a person starts making ghibat and backbiting. So this is what taqullah fi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And never feel that you are better than other people, because Allah has created us from man and woman. We've all come from one, from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Hawa. We're from one family. But Allah has made us different tribes and groups, so we can recognize one another, not because of pride and arrogance, that I am a black, or I am a white, or I am an Indian, or I am a colored, or whatever, my nation is better. Because إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable of you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's got the most amount of taqwa, who's got piety within himself. He's honorable in the sight of Allah ta'ala. So the racism is completely against the teachings of Islam. And the easy example to see of it is in a masjid, where every single person is standing in one line, in one stuff, and this person came and completely destroyed any form of racism. And any person can stand anywhere, even the imam also. The person who is the most liable, most muttaqi person will be placed forward as the imam. If you don't look at any color, any race, etc. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned this, and then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioned about certain people who said we've got iman within themselves. But Allah says, iman, how do you know you've got iman? You believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's no doubt in the least but at all. Every command of theirs, you believe in it, and then a person strives with his wealth and his lives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the true people. There are certain people who feel they are doing a great favor to Allah ta'ala by accepting Islam. Allah said, Allah has favored you people. Allah gave you hidayat and brought you towards Islam and iman. So don't feel you are doing somebody else a great favor by your iman and Islam. So anyhow, this is a very beautiful surah teaching us etiquette and adab. We should learn, go over the surah properly and think about these things and bring it into our lives. By means of this, a lot of muhabbat and unity will be created amongst ourselves. The next surah is Surah Qaf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about akhirat and qiyamah in great detail, about the angels who are writing down, and on the day of qiyamah they will testify against a person. So all of this Allah ta'ala has in the surah here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes on the day of Jumu'ah, in the khutbah also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read this whole surah. Even on the day of Eid, sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read this whole surah, because to remind a person about qiyamah, about the life of the year after. So a person must prepare for it. And Allah ta'ala mentions about Jahannam also, that hal min mazid, they will be asking, is there any more? We want more and more. Jahannam will never get full also, it will also be desiring more and more people. And on the other hand, in Jannat, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا, whatever a person desires will be found for a person in Jannat. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ, and Allah is far, far greater than what a person desires. And some ulama say the meaning of this is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the greatest bounty in Jannat, in the Akhirat. We should actually make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللَّهُمَا يَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّذْرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. That Allah, I want the enjoyment of looking at you in the Akhirat, and the shock and the desire to meet you. And one of the most severest punishments in the year after is when a person will be deprived to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, this will be even worse than the fire of Jahannam. So Allah ta'ala protect us from that. And we should always make dua to Allah ta'ala that Allah must grant us. Some ulama say that the Fajr Salah, a person who is pardoned, in particular with his Fajr Salah, then inshallah this is a means for a person to get the didar to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be very particular with our Fajr Salah with Jamaat. Allah ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to make amal.